Thanks, Greg. Yes, we've just caught up with Kirill Gerstein. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
You are traveling a lot. I was looking at your calendar. Last year, you were in Armenia, London, and all over the world, and you're headed all over the world in the coming months. When did you know that you were going to have this as your career?
I think this really happened very gradually, so there's not a decisive moment when I can refer to thinking, well, I will be a pianist or a concert pianist or a concert pianist that constantly travels. I think it developed naturally as an outgrowth of what was always so clearly felt, was that I knew that music is something that I love and so I'm very engaged with. But everything else really came gradually and later. So also it was not clear to me from the time I was, you know, 4 or 5 that I would be a pianist or that I wanted to be a pianist. You know, piano was an instrument for music and to make music on and with, and then it went from there.
You grew up in Russia and studied classical music there, and then the first time you came to the United States was to study jazz.
Well, I developed early on a parallel interest in jazz, in addition to my studies in classical music, which was the regular traditional path in Russia. So this jazz interest was for a while something that I just did on my own. But eventually, yes, I was invited by the Berklee College of Music in Boston to come and study jazz, which was a thrilling idea and thrilling invitation. And yes, that's what brought me to this country first.
And are there particular jazz artists that you were drawn to?
Yes, I think especially at the time when I came, I think Chick Corea and Keith Jarrett were my two big jazz idols. But then, of course, especially while at Berklee, I learned, got to know a much broader spectrum of people, from Teddy Wilson, Art Tatum, and to Brad Mehldau and Jackie Terrison and whoever else. So by now, I think my taste is fairly broad, but I do remember growing up and being absolutely thrilled by Keith Jarrett and Chick Corea in particular.
How does studying jazz and playing jazz inform your approach to classical music?
It certainly does, but it's difficult to verbalize or to point out in a particular way how it does. I think obviously something about the experience of jazz time and swing and just general a variety of feels that jazz music has, the harmonic sense that is very sharp in the jazz style, as well as, of course, the experience of not having a page of music in front of you, and so the this experience of making something on the spot, and so that music doesn't only come from the page, as is the experience of some musicians that play only classical music. So all of that and whatever else then somehow seeps through the cracks of my personality into my playing of classical music as well. But it's not a direct translation. It has taken me a very long time, and I continue to see what I can borrow from these experiences to create something similar, but not necessarily so a parallel experience. So it's not a direct translation, but it's certainly an influence.
You're about to play Shostakovich's Piano Concerto No. 2. When was the first time you played it?
First time, I think it was maybe 2007-08 season. And the conductor, Semyon Bichkov, asked me to play it with him with Munich Philharmonic. It was my first time. I didn't know the piece before, and so I tried to propose some other concertos that I knew, and there was quite a number of concertos on the list that I offered. And then Semyon wrote the most charming letter to me saying it really has to be Shostakovich 2, but he has never done it as well. And if I will agree, then we can sweat under the lamps for the first time together. And if that would happen, then we would play in Munich, but then we would also go and play it in La Scala with the La Scala Orchestra in Milano. So those were the first two experiences and occasions with this piece. That's not very often played for, I think, in my opinion, no good reason. And since then, I've played it actually quite a few times, most recently also with the Vienna Philharmonic, which had never played this concerto before, so that was amusing. So it's a piece I very much enjoy, and I think so does Yannick, and it's a lovely concerto.
Have you changed the way you approach it?
I hope so. I think I change the way I approach everything every day. And this is why I go to the piano in the morning and practice and see what's different today. So I'm sure I'm a different person. Yannick told me when we started rehearsing it, she said, "Oh, I watched your performance from Japan that's on YouTube." And she said, "But you do this and that in the second movement." And I said, "Look, it was 5 years ago. I hold no responsibility anymore. I'm a different person."
It's funny that it's not performed very often. Does it show a different side of Shostakovich, do you think, from what people would expect?
Well, I think for sure it does. I think it's so a bit overlooked because of the history of the piece, that he wrote it for his son as a present for his graduation from the music school. So I think it has a bit of this reputation that this is a youth concerto, but in fact, I think it is quite challenging, and there's nothing so unworthy or unserious about it as far as its quality goes. It has a lot of humor, but it's a very worthy piece. And yes, I think it does show Shostakovich in a more domestic mode, maybe because it's for his son or for whichever reason, but the second movement is so particularly beautiful for me, without Shostakovich trying to be a modern composer or trying to be anything. It just is, and so it has a certain, you could say, unforced feel to it, unforced beauty to it. And the third movement is full of humor and makes fun also of this educational piano exercises that Shostakovich's son obviously had to practice, as any pianist at some point encounters these Hanan and Czerny exercises, and Shostakovich makes fun of that. And the first movement is very compact in terms of length and form, but really contains everything within a rather short span in some way, so relates to the scherzo of the first violin concerto. And so in that sense, there is intensity and there is drama in this somewhat miniaturized package as compared to some of the symphonies. So it's a very rich piece.
Do you consider the biography of the composer when you approach a piece?
Well, I think it's something that I or one ought to know, just this. So the more you know about anything that you're studying or involved, I think can be beneficial. How that translates, or whether that translates, is again like the question about jazz influencing classical, not necessarily in a direct way. It's not that I will play the second or third beat of the seventh measure necessarily different because he wrote it for his son. But it's good to know, and maybe something somewhere clicks in the head or the heart when I play it. So I think it's absolutely essential to know, and to know the framework of reference, to know that this piece is a different facet than the other pieces of Shostakovich. So perhaps one should know the other pieces, and one should know what his life was like. But does it have a direct correlation? Not necessarily, not always.
And how was it this week rehearsing with the Philadelphia Orchestra?
That is always a treat, and it's one of the orchestras where I've had the good fortune and the pleasure of coming to regularly and over the span of some years now. So it really feels like coming to make music with friends, and same thing with Yannick. So it's very, very positive for me on the personal level, and of course on the musical level, unquestionably. It's such a wonderful orchestra that's now attuned with Yannick as their music director, and vice versa. So it's really wonderful to be part of that this week.
Is there any particular part of the concerto that you like to have fun with?
Starts with the first measure of the first movement, and by the last measure of the third movement, I think it's time to stop having fun.
You play a range of repertoire. Are you drawn to any particular repertoire? And do you have plans for the future as to which direction you'd like to go?
I think part of my practicing is to make sure that I retain the flexibility and the ability to switch gears. So I think it would be honest to say that I feel that the favorite or the most involving area of the repertoire is one that I'm concentrated on that week. If this week it's Shostakovich, then the answer would be honest and fair that Shostakovich very much. And next week, if it's Beethoven, then it's Beethoven. I think that's a very important flexibility, because it would also be, the opposite would be very dishonest if I would come here and say, well, I'm playing Shostakovich this week. Well, what are you most drawn to? Well, Brahms. So, well, then, you know, then come with Brahms.
Thank you so much. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.